The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Rolien Marx, been looking forward to chatting to you all day. How are you?
I'm sure. Me too. And I have to ask you this question. A religious man, a lefty, and an Arab walk into
a parliament altogether. I mean, really? Rolien,
not the opening of a joke, but yeah, what a historical moment for Israel.
Okay, so tell us, where do we stand? Has Lapid formed a government? Is the sign sealed and delivered, or not quite?
Well, we've got the government, the skeleton of the government, the Misgeret, as we would say, the framework of it. But we still have to get it signed in and passed by the Knesset, which is where, of course, the complications come in. So in case you missed it and thought I was telling a really obscure joke, which I'm really not good at, because you know I kill punchlines before I've even opened my mouth. What happened last night, really down to the final hour, was that Yair Lapid, who's the leader of the Change Bloc, phoned President Rivlin with Mansour Abbas and Naftali Bennett by his side, and announced that he had all the signatures from the parties needed to form a unity coalition government, or had agreed to form a unity national government. And now the work begins in trying to get this through the Knesset. And of course, the million shekel question is, what is Bibi going to do to try and maybe derail this from happening? Because as we know, the Prime Minister is a fighter. He's not going to go down without a fight here. And we have seen maneuvers over the last couple of hours since this was announced. I mean, I don't envy any of them. I don't think they've had any sleep. But we do have the framework. I mean, if we just look at the parties that are part of this, we have Meretz, the more far left. We have Labour Party, kind of left to centre. We have Yesh Atid firmly in the centre. We have the blue and white in the centre. We have Yisrael Biteinu to the right. We have Yamina to the right. We have the New Hope to the right, and we have coming out left of center the religious Islamist party Ra'am, which is part of this. And as negotiations stand at the moment, the Ra'am party will get a deputy minister portfolio within the Prime Minister's office. You heard it here, folks. Can't make this up. This is what has happened. But now there are maneuverings by Yesh Atid. They've launched their petition to remove Yariv Levine as the Knesset speaker. He is, of course, from the Likud party, because it is estimated that Yariv Levine and Prime Minister Netanyahu could try and either pull people who have defected to some of the other parties, or to try and scupper this deal going through. So Lapid has put his bid forward of Mickey Levy. You may recognize him as the spokesperson for the Israel police. He is the choice of the Yesh Atid party for the Speaker of Knesset. But we've also had some drama, because we've had the joint list backing the maneuver, or the pledge to change the Speaker of the Knesset. And we've had Yamina and Yesh Atid distancing themselves from the new list, or the joint list party. So it is quite an extraordinary moment. We know that Naftali Bennett has met with Yamina Chavei Knesset Ner Orbach, that who opposed a bid to try and quickly re-elect a new Knesset speaker. This apparently seems to have gone smoothly, but now there will be a lot of behind the scenes phone calls being done over the next couple of days. Yair Lapid wants to get this passed by the Knesset as soon as possible, and have a new government sworn in as soon as next week.
Rolien, we've had a comment from Anonymous who says, a religious Islamic party forming part of an Israeli government, this really is the end of times. How are Israelis reacting to this?
Most Israelis are pretty okay with this. I think we also have to look at, when we talk about Islamist party, you know, many people, the minute you say that, think do we have Hamas in the, we have to make a very big distinction between what is religious as in following the Quran and being observant and being a fundamentalist party with a genocidal charter, which is what we see in the case of Hamas and to a point Fatah, you know, that have elements within their party that want to destroy the state of Israel. I think that is not the language that Israelis would use, the end of times, not at all. Israelis look at this and we think, well, this is expressing the diversity of this country. We do have a minority community of Arabs that make up 20% of this population. They cannot and should not be excluded from the decision-making process. And this is also perhaps a sign that if you come in and you work with the government and you make sure that your community is represented the way that it should be, that it perhaps does, goes a long way to healing or building bridges across the divisions that we find and making it less easy or less penetrable by the more radical elements.
It's going to be absolutely fascinating. I look forward to developments and I look forward to your updates over time. But also really interesting is the story of the UNRWA chief. He got himself in a bit of hot water, didn't he? He said that the Israeli strikes were pretty surgical and Hamas didn't like that.
Yeah, and you know, Hamas get ticked off very, very easily. I mean, I have to make the distinction there. They don't get offended easily, but they do get ticked off very, very easily. No pun intended, Simon. But we did have a situation towards the end of Miftsa Shomer Chomot, Operation Guardians of the Wall, where the UNRWA director in Gaza, that's Dr. Matthias Schmale, went on Israeli TV, Israeli Channel 12 News, and in an interview said that in his opinion, the IDF were very, very sophisticated and pinpoint with their precision when it came to striking targets within the Gaza Strip. He said that they did everything they could in order to negate civilian casualties, which we know is a policy of the IDF, you know, the purity of arms, to make sure that we have as few civilian casualties as humanly possible. Well, the next day he had to walk back his statement and he had to apologize to Hamas, and we are very, very scared to entertain what kind of coercive tactics Hamas would have taken then. But he has been forced now to flee Gaza. The Palestinians in Gaza want him out, and he has been recalled to Jerusalem, where he will have to go before his superiors and answer for the statements made in that interview. But it just goes to show, and something that it still befuddles me, that the media and the world don't seem to want to absorb or refuse to take into account, is the conditions that anyone reporting in Gaza or anybody stationed in Gaza has to endure when you're dealing with a terror entity that runs the area.
And then our last issue for today, Pride Parade in Jerusalem.
Yes, this is happening as we speak in Jerusalem, about 8,000 people under very, very strict police escort are holding the Pride Parade. This is an annual event that takes place in Jerusalem. There's one in Jerusalem and one in Tel Aviv every single year. You know, another epic fail, if we're talking about how non-progressive Israel is as a country, Simon, that we've been accused of these past couple of weeks. But yeah, earlier today, two 17-year-olds were arrested for sticking up posters that were anti the Pride March. They will appear before a Jerusalem district court. On what charges, we don't know. But this is happening, and it's happening opened with a dedication to Shira Blank, who was killed several years ago during the Pride Parade in Jerusalem.
Ro, I'm going to steal 1 minute from the news because I've just raised two articles that I've read yesterday. One was a fire in an Iranian oil refinery not far from Tehran. The other was a fire on one of the biggest boats which sank in the Gulf of Oman. Do you want to comment on that or do you want to pass?
Well, you know, all I can say is we don't know who's responsible, but I don't know, maybe loose lips sink ships. I don't know. You know, I can only think of the incredible coincidences that seem to be plaguing the Iranians. I don't know, Salman. You know, maybe it's that old adage from the Tanakh, from the Bible, and I will bless those that bless Israel. Just saying.
Just saying, indeed. And I'm just saying to you, Shabbat Shalom, thank you for talking to us this week, and look forward to doing it again next week.
Shabbat Shalom.